You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. Over the next few weeks on our program, we'll be talking with the candidates running for Fresno City Council. The seat of District 6 represents North Fresno. Three candidates are vying for that position. It's one currently held by Lee Brand. Today, we'll hear from Holly Carter. She's a local businesswoman and cancer survivor who's been running her own marketing firm and has also been involved in local Republican Party politics for some time. She joins us now on Valley Public Radio. Holly, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Holly, you run a successful marketing and PR business. You've also been involved in a number of things, leading the local GOP. Why run for office now when you have all those other things going on?
That's a great question. I never wanted to run for office. I actually still don't want to run for office. It's more of a gravitational pull. I'm a strong business advocate, to say the least. I'm very passionate about small business owners, and I've been working with them for the last 8 years or so, trying to help them navigate through the red tape in Fresno City Hall successfully, but only on an individual level. And so I'm looking to help usher in a systemic change and put in place processes so that we can create a friendlier business climate and attract new businesses to Fresno, which will help create a stronger, healthier economy.
Let's talk about that. Specifically, what are some of the problems that you've seen? Because we hear this a lot, that Fresno is a hard place to do business. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it's difficult to get a CUP. It's difficult to get some of these planning sorts of things. But is that what you're talking about? Give me an example of what is holding up the works. Because it seems like every few years, a new administration comes in the mayor's office, which really runs city staff, not so much the council, and they say, we're going to make the city more business friendly, yet we still hear this. What are actually the bottlenecks?
Well, as I see it from outside, of course, you know, I can only speak to what the experience I've had in helping business owners, and certainly have never been worked within City Hall as an employee. But the experience from a business owner's perspective is you go to City Hall and you go to the planning department, and the people in the planning department are wonderful. It's not their problem. It's a process problem. And they're given information that is really incorrect. If the world worked perfectly in Fresno City Hall, then I suppose that's what would happen. But basically they're given a time frame and a cost of the project and what it's going to take to get the project approved for a conditional use permit, as you suggested earlier, or say somebody wants to add a beer and wine license to their restaurant or whatever. And what ends up happening is it takes, what could be maybe they're quoted 30 to 45 days, and 6 months later they're still really trying to get through the process unsuccessfully. They become very, very frustrated, and there's a ton of fees and, the whoops effect, as I call it. And there's all of these whoops, we forgot this, and whoops, you need to do this. And, maybe a $4,500 application fee, $20,000 later, they're still not approved. So it's just a process in place that no longer serves us well, and as I see it, there's no way to actually measure it, and that which can be measured can be managed. And when we have no system in place or process in place in which we can actually measure what's happening, there is no way to manage it. So we really need a systemic overhaul in the planning department, and we don't have to look far to figure out how to do that. We just need to talk to the cities in America that are the top 10 most business-friendly cities in America, which I've done. Ask them what they're doing that's working, which I've done, and mimic that, bring that here. And really, we just need to bring transparency, accountability. And if we tell a business owner that it's going to take 30 days for your conditional use to be approved, it needs to be approved in 30 days or they get their money back. Simple things.
So how do you do that, though, as a city council? The job of the council is to legislate, to pass laws, but it's actually the job of the mayor to run the city administration, not the council. How do you set up a procedure to do that?
Well, that would be the city manager's job. I would obviously in the first 100 days, I would ask for a best practices study. And, let's look and see what we're doing now and what we could be doing differently and put in place, I don't even call it consequences, but, consequences. There's consequences to everything else in life. Why not be consequences for us? If we tell a business owner that we're going to do something and we fail to do that, then the business owner should not be punished. You know, many of these business owners, they are leasing space that they're not even able to occupy because we won't approve their permits. But unfortunately, the lease has started, right? They've given so long to do the tenant improvements, but the payments start, and if they're not able to open their business, it's very, very costly for them.
Let's move on to another issue that I know is big to you and to residents throughout Fresno, but including in District 6, and that's public safety. You have called for increase the number of officers on the Fresno Police Department. How do you do that? You mentioned going back to the numbers that the city had back in around 2004, 2005. That was in an era when city revenues were a little different and also when there were federal grants to fund some of those positions. How do you beef up the ranks of the police department in the fiscal times that we have now?
Mm-hmm. Well, the addition of – there was an addition of police officers in the early 2000s because of the grants, but there was no foresight into how we were going to pay for those police officers once the grants expired, and I believe it was 2 years. So the city had to deal with that, exactly what you're asking now. They had to figure out how to pay for those police officers. And we're looking at doing, similar things now. So it's really not a secret that we're going to have to look at the spending practices at City Hall when we're able to just magically find several $100,000 in bonuses to give to staff while we're imposing upon the fire department and cutting back to dangerous levels. That's not acceptable. So we really need to look at our spending practices, and we need to sharpen the pencil. And we're going to need to cut in some areas, but we're also going to need to, as the general fund increases. So as the general fund increases, we need to allocate a disproportionate amount of that general fund increase to public safety. That would be both police and fire.
The city doesn't control all of the public safety universe, of course. The city doesn't have its own jail. It relies on the Fresno County Sheriff for that. Mm-hmm. The criminal justice system is largely beyond the control of the City Hall and the police chief itself. I've heard some people say it's not just about spending more on police. It's about being smarter. You can arrest somebody, but if they're being let out of jail the next day or in just a few hours, is that even a bigger part of the problem than just having more officers?
I think it's equally important. Both issues that you bring up, we definitely need to return to community oriented policing, and what that means for the person that's not used to that term. What that means is you get used to seeing a particular officer that is his beat, that they call it. So, every day when he's on duty, he's patrolling the neighborhoods. He's working with the business owners. It's relationship driven. So when he sees something that isn't right or is out of place, he's going to deal with it, or he or she, I should say. I did my ride along with a woman, so he or she. But there are other things that we can do as well now. For instance, I've printed and passed out about 10,000 flyers to get everybody on Nextdoor, which is a online digital neighborhood watch. I'll have to get you one. You just plug in your address on Nextdoor.com, and it plugs you right into your neighborhood digital neighborhood watch. And it was brought to the city by the Fresno Police Department. And on there, you can report suspicious activity, and you really develop the relationship building without having to have the in-person meetings, which is so difficult to do. Another thing that we can do is something that I worked with Chief Dyer, and I came up with the idea, and he said, absolutely, we can do it. And that is, on a voluntary basis, business owners can allow the Fresno Police Department to tap into their surveillance systems in the event that there's a crime occurring or something's happening. Let's say 911 is called, there's a crime occurring. The police department can tap into those cameras and immediately see what's going on. And this is helpful not only for that business, but let's say the suspect gets away, and then it's a chase through the neighborhood or what have you. We're able to collectively tap into all of the different businesses and apprehend the suspect much, much faster than we would have otherwise. The way it is now, my daughter's school, there was a couple home invasions earlier this year, and my daughter's school was on lockdown. And, you know, in Northeast Fresno, you don't think of your kid's school being on lockdown, and she was under her desk for 2 hours. So, that's where having this kind of technology in place, which we have all of the abilities to do it now. We just need to get it in place with the business owners. And then we put a sign in their storefront that says, with a, you know, big Fresno Police Department badge on there that says, this is being monitored 24/7 this is being monitored by the Fresno Police Department, that which is going to be a huge deterrent. You know, if you're going to choose which place to rob, you know, the one that has that sign or the one that doesn't, you're probably going to go to the one that doesn't. So that's another, you know, that's something that we can begin doing right away. And it's free. It doesn't cost the business owner anything. So innovative ideas, things that don't draw from the general fund are ways that we can deal with this. But another thing is that, you know, it when you talked about arresting people and them getting out of jail, one thing that's very important is we do need to arrest these people. And what's happening now is, at least in District 6 and the people that I'm – business owners I'm talking to and the doors that I'm knocking on, they're calling for help when – and they're catching a criminal. Sequoia Brewing Company is an example. They caught somebody in the middle of a crime, and they called the police. The police were dealing with a much more serious crime in south into Fresno. And they just simply said, "There's no way we can leave this fort to come back up to our precinct where we should be, where we're supposed to be stationed in Northeast Fresno to arrest this person, take him to jail, and then he's going to get out within an hour." Well, that needs to stop. We need to have community policing where the Northeast precinct is staffed, and we are not pulling from the Northeast district to. Take care of South districts. We need to have and also the Northeast district now has been enlarged to cover part of the Central district. So we need to tighten that up. We do need to expand and bring on more officers, but we need to keep them in Northeast Fresno and with regards to District 6. But we have to arrest these people because the message that we're sending, even if they get out in an hour, the message that we're sending is that there's no consequences. And if there's no consequences, then we have total anarchy. And it sends a really, really bad message to the citizens who are following the rules and doing everything right that, hey, you know, there's nothing we can do and there's nothing we're going to do. They're just going to get away with it. And I can tell you that the aggressive panhandling is getting worse because they know no one's going to come. So and I'm talking about panhandlers standing in front of 7-Eleven and scaring customers to the point where they're no longer going to some of the stores, and 7-Eleven telling me, hey, you know, if this doesn't stop, we're going to have to close this store down. And the way things are now, we're not going to open any more stores in Fresno. So it's those kinds of things, jobs that aren't coming, where it seems like, oh, panhandling, it's not that big of a deal. Pretty big deal when you have businesses being disrupted to the point that customers are afraid to go.
But if I can just to clarify here, if we have a situation, hypothetical here, where you have an officer-involved shooting in the southeast part of town or a major event there, you're saying you would not pull officers from northeast part of town who might be ticketing a panhandler and would not send those officers to a major call like an officer-involved shooting?
There's going to be exceptions, obviously, if something like that. Clearly, there's going to be a time and place where that needs to happen. But what's happening as a general rule of thumb right now is we are constantly pulling from Northeast Fresno and the Northeast District. And in District 6, we do not have access to our own precinct officers because they are truly busy. It isn't that they don't want to come. They just simply cannot. So, I've had a home invasion and I have a daughter, two daughters live at home. One is downstairs, one is upstairs, and I'm in the room. I'm upstairs with my 10-year-old. And, you know, there's people that break in your home. It's 4 a.m. and I have to make a decision. What do I do? Which daughter do I run to? You know, how do I deal with this? And knowing that the police are more than likely in the south end of town, and it was terrifying. And so I think we've gotten to a point where we don't feel safe in our own homes. So I'm certainly not saying that there aren't going to be times when absolutely the entire community would say, you need to go. You need to go and take care of this. We totally understand that. But when it's happening daily and we can't get help and we no longer feel safe in Northeast Fresno and we have homeowners that call for help and 40 minutes later the police show up and the man is dead in the front of his house or the, you know, his next door neighbor's house, that's not okay. So I guess that, you know, that there's always gray area, but something needs to change.
We're talking with City Council candidate Holly Carter. She's running for the seat that's currently held by Lee Brand, who's terming out of office right now. You're largely describing a city hall that, if it isn't broken, has some problems. How would you rate Lee's performance in the last 7 years on the city council?
I think that Lee has done a good job. Just the nature of Lee and who he is, he's really a numbers guy, and he loves to get in the numbers, and he's big on fiscal responsibility, and that's very important. I will say that in District 6, we've been fairly ignored for the sake of the city. And you know, perhaps that was a good decision for some of the time because we were in a pretty much state of emergency with the Great Recession. But when Woodward Park, the trees are at this point, you know, a lot of them are dead. You know, that's not okay. And I get that we're in a drought, but couldn't we come up with a solution when our neighborhoods are just dark because the lights aren't being replaced? When, you know, we're sort of like the issue with police officers. Because we're Northeast Fresno, we must be okay, and therefore, you know, we're not the squeaky wheel, so we get ignored. And the District 6 residents are they're not happy about that. We have a serious problem with vagrancy, and you know, we are for the first time dealing with homeless, you know, really serious homeless encampments in Northeast Fresno. They're not used to that. That certainly isn't Lee's fault. But I think that just the overall emphasis that he's put on really trying to recraft the business model of the city of Fresno has kept him focused on that. And so in many ways, there's many things he's done that I think are very, very good. I would have liked to have seen him spend more time in the district helping the small business owners. And that's an area where I would definitely mark him down on the grades, as he was not a warrior for small businesses. And that disappointed me. Plus, with the general plan update and the development code, he voted in a way that also was not business friendly. And I would have to mark him down on that as well.
Before we go, one last thing. Your campaign put out a flyer recently about the Fresno Fire Department, talking about the need for more staffing, in your view. Chief Carrie Donis came out a few days ago and said she disagrees with those numbers and requested your campaign stop using the logo of the fire department on that release. Your response to Chief Donis's criticism and your plan for the fire department?
So the request from the chief came from above her. I will tell you that. So it was
Saying it came from the city manager or the mayor.
It came from above her, and so it was politically motivated. What fire chief wouldn't want somebody out campaigning for more resources for her department? She is wonderful. I spent time talking with her. I am her hugest supporter, her raving fan. And some of the ideas that we talked about that day of things that the fire department needs that I haven't even discussed, I've already moved on in pursuit of helping bring those to fruition for her. But she's amazing. She's a warrior. I love her and everything that she's doing. So it was it was yellow journalism at its finest. It was politically motivated. And there is absolutely no bad feelings between Chief Donis and myself, and I look forward to working with her and doing everything I can to support her.
Council candidate Holly Carter hopes to represent District 6 in Fresno. The election is coming up on the first Tuesday in June. Holly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.